Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Here's one for your "You Think You've Got Problems" list. The United Kingdom and the European Union. There may be 50 ways to leave your lover, but how do you leave the EU? Let's ask Lincoln Steed to bring us up to date on this issue of Brexit and how it may impact religious liberty in that area. Lincoln, enlighten us.
Well, Brexit has become very, very complicated.
Oh, man.
But I'm afraid even at this late point on this side of the cold, wet divide, people don't understand much about what's really going on. And I'm not going to put myself up as the expert of all experts, but having grown up in Australia, when the antecedents to this first began, I think I know a little bit more about the dynamic. And I remember back as a young kid growing up in Australia in, should I give the time frame?
Yeah, go ahead.
Late 50s, early 60s.
That's not so bad.
There was a sea change taking place in the relationship between England and its former possessions. And right up to World War II and a little bit after, England was buying up all the wheat and raw materials and the meat, sheep and cattle from Australia, and they were a preferred trading partner. And I can still remember the horror in Australia when England belatedly and very much the supplicant joined what was emerging as the European Common Market. It cost Australia, and it led directly to what we're now experiencing, where Australia threw its lot in militarily with the United States and economically with China. Became a major trading partner with China and, for that matter, Russia. Even at the height of the Cold War, Australia had strong business dealings with Russia, and Russian cruise ships used to come down to Australia. It was an amazing thing. And, of course, the American nuclear umbrella protected Australia. But, you know, England thought that they were doing a great thing, and they joined this European Common Market, which then later morphed into more than just an economic coalition for trading and preferred trading status. It moved to a political, federal-type union. In theory, the countries of the European Union didn't fully give away sovereignty, but they gave themselves over to a federal oversight by the European Parliament. And England was always somewhat kicking and screaming as they came into this. And my view, which I've never read anywhere, is that a big part of this was that there's always been an undercurrent in the European Union of trying to reformulate or reestablish what amounts to the Holy Roman Empire,
yes,
or the old order of imperial rule over Europe. And England, as a, even in these latter days, a still strongly Protestant country in its outlook, its lifestyle, and of course the Church of England, it's not been a good fit. Not been a good fit.
How has religious liberty fared through all of this? Has it impacted it at all?
The quick answer is not much. But as far as the dynamic, I think there's ominous elements, because while it would be thoroughly inaccurate to say that the Bishop of Rome controls the European Union, his influence is inordinate. For example, the European Union was established by the Treaty of Rome, not the Treaty of the Vatican, but Treaty of Rome. That's the center of gravity for the whole European experiment. Their parliament's in Brussels, Belgium, but Rome is the engine, and the Pope of Rome wields incredible influence within Europe. I can remember very clearly, decades ago, he was not this present Pope, but the Pope was noised as a possible head of state for the European Union.
Wow.
And I'm sure that set English sensibilities on edge. As far as an immediate reason, I think you can easily implicate the people movements in Europe that followed from the Syrian civil war, but nobody seems to know who gave the signal to send all of the immigrants in human trains down to Germany and so on and France, and then via the tunnel or the channel to England. And you can still go online and see immigrants physically attacking English truck drivers as they tried to drive into England. So I think that's what set it all on edge. But there are deeper reasons. I have a love of history. I think England is struggling to regain a sense of self and their place in history. And I do think a lot of it devolves around how they govern themselves. And they do not necessarily see the developing European Union and some of the other cultures, not all of which are Roman Catholic, for example. Right. I mean, there's several Protestant countries. But I think there's a growing Catholic sense of control and a dominant Catholic interest, and even on the immigrant thing. The Pope led the way on it for reasons I don't understand. So there's just an antipathy developing within England. And this latest thing where the new Prime Minister of England, Boris Johnson, has suspended, or I'm trying to think of the word, it's not quite a suspension, but deferred Parliament for about 6 weeks.
Yes.
It's almost a constitutional crisis in England. In their rush to implement the plebiscite vote that they had a few years ago to separate, come hell or high water, from the European Union.
So the people of England are trying to weigh the economic benefits of being part of the EU with the political strings that may be attached to doing so. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, but you know, a lot of misinformation on it. If they remove themselves from the European Union, they can trade with Europe just as they did before.
Right.
All they lose, it's two things, is preferred status, so that might be negative, but they also lose control, because the European Union would disadvantage some aspects, say a fishing in England, they might restrict them on their catch to benefit fishing in another part of the European Union. They'd be allowed to catch more. So there are some controls that have been very bad for England.
But this is a global economy. Why in the world doesn't England just look elsewhere, like America or China or Russia?
Right. And this is my view as an Australian. I know that Australia could fill the gap easily if England separated. So I don't see it as the big business issue that they make out. But I'll throw in one thing that the English well know, but doesn't hit the media here. The real thorny aspect to a hard Brexit, as they put it, without any agreements in place, is that it immediately will create a massive crisis that will translate into religious conflict in Ireland.
Ooh, explain that one.
Ireland is the independent Republic of Ireland in the south, and Northern Ireland, which is connected to the British government. And remember, Northern Ireland's where we had the violence between Catholics and Protestants.
Right.
That is a leftover agitation from Oliver Cromwell, the great religious despot of the 1600s. And that's been damped down lately. If there's a hard Brexit, the border between the two islands becomes an issue, because under the European Union, there are no borders. Anyone with a European passport can go anywhere they want.
Right.
And England does not want unrestricted travel now to a separated England. But how did they stop them coming from southern to Northern Ireland? The quick answer is erect a border, but both parts of Ireland are adamantly opposed. And to erect that wall will instantly create agitation, probably from both religions, but particularly from the Catholic. I think they're the majority in Northern Ireland. And they're really more of an underclass, because the ruling class are largely still English transplants from Cromwell's time into Ireland.
You know, a lot of people would say, what is the big deal here? You know, you're people, you're not religions. And the trouble is, religion and people are so connected, and you've brought this out in the programs before, that a person will say, I'm not only Northern Ireland, I am Catholic, or I am Protestant. There's no definition, there's no distance between the two of those in a lot of people's minds, right?
And Ireland is majority Catholic.
Yeah.
So the independent Ireland has a sympathy, and the other way around too, with the Irish in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And remember, when I refer to Cromwell, what he did was he went over there with his army, put down the Catholic insurrection very violently, dispossessed the ruling class, and imported English Orangemen, they're called today, the aristocracy, and then English rule under a sort of a protectorate continued to this day. So there are very real political grievances that all relate to religious identity. And the Free Island, of course, is going to agitate against that. So to erect a border will be to resurrect the old troubles, as they call them, in Ireland.
Brexit is a whole lot more complicated, like you say, than most people realize. And I guess we'll have to keep our eyes on this, Lincoln. How do you want it to go? Let's get personal here. What do you think we should be doing over there?
Well, no, I think it's a good thing for England to separate. Mm-hmm. But of course, all procedures need to be done in good order. And this is not going well.
Yes.
But, you know, I think from all my analysis and watching it, I think there are many MPs in Parliament that really didn't like the popular vote and would like to not just delay it, but to revisit the whole decision to separate from the European Union.
Do they think now that people are more educated and have a deeper understanding of what would happen if they did this?
Well, they're trying to educate them.
They're trying to educate
the dangers.
Them now. Okay, yeah.
I think they're straw men dangers, because I think if that's done right, why can't England separate? They were fine for many hundreds of years before the Union. They're not going to disappear afterwards.
Speaking like a true Australian, I just got to say that.
Yeah. So anyway. The religious troubles in Ireland are inextricably tied up to how the separation takes place.
There is a religious liberty issue right there in Brexit, and Liberty Magazine and Lincoln Steed here have outlined that for us, and we need to really be aware of these things. By the way, listener, if you want more information on any of the topics we talk about here, libertymagazine.org is our website. You can listen to these programs, you can read the articles, you can read Lincoln's blogs. There are television programs to watch, radio programs to listen to, podcasts, all kinds of good things right there at libertymagazine.org. As we have been telling you many times, and as we tell ourselves, we need to know more. We need to be educated. Our decisions need to come from a place of knowledge. And we get that knowledge by reading, by studying, and Lincoln Steed will tell you by studying the past as well. That's why he is a big student of history. Sometimes we look around and we say, hey, we've been here before. What worked? What didn't? That's very helpful. That's all at libertymagazine.org. Lincoln Steed, thank you very much for sharing today. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone.
If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258 or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.